Hare Krishna, Purushottam Mas, Dhiran Patel is asking about it. There's a article on the site, so Dhiran and others, you can look at what the significance of the Mas is, what observances you can make. I'm not doing anything special except for every morning the first I'll break my fast, meaning that's the first thing I'll eat is a little Jagannath Mahaprasadam, and that way I'll be able to remember Purushottama. Purushottam is Lord Jagannath. Just like Jagannath Puri is called Purushottam Kshetra. And the purpose of all of these fasts and the purpose of all of these special months, festivals, is to just increase our remembrance of Krishna, increase our absorption in Him. So in order to remember Lord Jagannath, who's very, very beautiful and has very wide open lotus eyes and is especially merciful to his devotees, I'll take Jagannath Prasadam, and that way I'll remember Krishna more. Otherwise I have no plan to do anything else, unless perhaps there's some final days fasting that can even intensify remembrance. But I'll look at the site myself if I ever go on internet and see what it says. Here Balaram Das is asking a relevant question from out there on Sankatan. He says, we had a habit to eat karmi grain, puffed rice, popcorn, muesli. Not just sometimes, but daily. A devotee told me that it is not so good, so I made effort to stop, but a Sankatan devotee said that on Sankatan we can. So I would like to ask, can we eat karmi grain or not? Well, the answer is that we should avoid it, just like muesli. Grains can be purchased, and they can be cooked in the temple. That's what we used to do when we were on Sankatan, and we just take it out with us. It isn't that muesli is something that's freshly cooked on a daily basis. It's something that lasts for a long, long time, and neither is it rocket science. Anyone can cook muesli and whatever type of muesli that they prefer. Of course, making your own puffed rice is a little more complex, and popcorn, well, you're the one who's popping it, so you're the one who's cooking it. I don't imagine you're buying pre-popped corn. So when you buy corn, you're buying grains that don't grow in New Rajadam, although the best popcorn is the one that we got here, that grows here in New Rajadam. That was the best, most tastiest popcorn I ever ate. So we should try to avoid it. And then if absolutely we cannot avoid it, then taking all necessary precautions, then we can purchase grains cooked by karmis. I assume that's what you mean by karmi grains. Because Sankatan is itself a great austerity, therefore in order to facilitate that, if absolutely necessary and there's no other alternative, then devotees can eat. However, they should be aware that if they become lax and they use that as an excuse for all kinds of sense indulgence, then they won't be protected. They'll become influenced by the contaminated consciousness within the food. So we should, if possible, look for alternatives. Okay, but I'm repeating myself now. Jagannath Sutta Das is asking, what are the symptoms of pure devotional service and those that are tinged with false ego, and how can we avoid the latter? May I recommend that you read the book Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, which goes into great detail about the symptoms of pure devotional service as well as impure devotional service, how they arise, how they can be cultivated, how the impure can be avoided, how the pure can be contacted. It's a long subject, but it's a very important one. And finally, Bhakti and Alex is asking, I have a question, pure devotional, in Shri Bhakti Chintamani, pure devotional service defined, part two. I understand that pure devotee does not desire to have the same opulence or form as the Lord or to merge to his effulgence. But how can a devotee not have the desire to be near the Lord, Samipya? Great devotees may be willing to stay in this world or even to go to the hellish planets, but surely the desire would be to be with Krishna and serve him personally. And how should we apply this in our spiritual lives? Is it correct to cultivate the desire to one day be reunited with Radhe Shyam and to serve them in the spiritual world? I think the key to understanding this is that when it says that a devotee does not have a desire, it translates into that a devotee's motivation for devotional service is not to be near the Lord. In other words, devotees don't serve Krishna because they want to enjoy his physical presence. Their motivation for serving Krishna is so that Krishna is pleased and satisfied. And if Krishna is pleased or satisfied by my being in his presence, then that's good. And if Krishna is satisfied by service that I do in his absence or separated from him, Vipralamba, then that's also good. So this is the motivation. The pure devotional service means that the motivation is that Krishna should be satisfied. And there's no conditions, not even the condition of being with him. Having said that, devotees have the desire to be with Krishna, obviously. But that isn't the motivation for their service. That's simply the natural inclination of the heart, that you want to be with the person that you love. But you don't serve a person because you want to be with him. You don't serve your beloved because you want to be with him. You serve them so that they're happy. And if you have to go away from them in order to make them happy, then one accepts that. So in this instance and in other instances in Srila Prabhupada's books, the words which are used require clarification in order to be understood. So here when it says devotees don't have a desire for any of these things, this is not the motivation for their service. Like a devotee's motivation is not to have the same form as Krishna. I'm not serving Krishna so that I can look like Krishna. But if Krishna wants me to, if my service is facilitated by having the same form as Krishna, and Krishna wants me to do that, then I'll accept it. So, ultimately, this is what it is. Why are you rendering service? And how should we apply this in our spiritual lives? Well, it's like that. We apply it in our spiritual lives in that, for instance, devotees would very much rather be in the temple, in the presence and the shelter of the deities and render service there. But they can't do that. They have to go out on Sankirtan, they have to preach, they have to do so many things. So they do that, why? Because it's pleasing to Krishna. And Krishna is pleased by that. So they go away from the Lord for that purpose. And is it incorrect to cultivate the desire to be reunited? No, not at all. But when you're united with Radhe Shyam in the spiritual world, you're not going to be with them 24 hours a day, at least 24 spiritual hours a day. You're also going to be separated. And part of that separation is to keep love fresh, the reason for that. And the other is because that's part of the service, is not to be with them all the time. So we should by all means cultivate the desire to go back to Godhead. But if having gone back to Godhead, or being qualified to go back to Godhead, Krishna says, but I'd like you to do this and that, then, in other words, I'd like you to go to the material world, I'd like you to go somewhere else to preach, which is not back in the spiritual world, then a devotee does that because it's pleasing to Krishna, and his only request is, all right, but let me always remember you. Because when we're remembering Krishna and we're absorbed in pure thought of Krishna, then actually we're always with them and we're in the spiritual world. So this is how one can actually always be with Krishna. By chanting Hare Krishna, we're always with him. By thinking about him, we're always with him. And that type of association is readily accessible to the devotee. Hare Krishna.